Good morning, everyone, once again. Thank you so very much for joining us today for this period of biblical study from the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles from Interstate 55, due west toward Tunica, on Highway 4, 7458 Highway 4 West, Senatobia, Mississippi, 38668. You're certainly invited to come be a part of our Bible classes at 9:30 this morning. Our worship service will be at 10:30. Preaching service will be at that time. And you'll be invited to come back at 6 o'clock that evening for a continuation of Bible study times. We invite you to be a part of that with the Crockett congregation. This program is made available to you by the Crockett Church of Christ each Sunday morning, and we look forward to the studies with you. There are those who have found themselves describing baptism as we have described in Romans chapter 6 as the Holy Spirit baptism. That the presence of the Holy Spirit brings us the salvation from sin is not water baptism that's being discussed there. But after looking at the description of Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10, we read where the Holy Spirit baptism was for another purpose in mind, not the saving of the soul, but a powerful agent for the apostles of the Lord there in Acts chapter 2 and for the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. We see information there that is given to us that shows us the difference between what we do as obedience to the Lord and what actually happens in regard to the message that they were taught at that time. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the apostles themselves were together in one place, and there appeared unto them signs like of a rushing mighty wind, came upon them and filled the house wherein they were sitting. And this was the Holy Spirit that came into them at that time to anoint them and to give them power to speak in languages they had never studied. The people were amazed that these Galileans could speak in our tongues in Acts 2 at verse 8, the wonderful works of God. These were speaking in our tongues, understandably, the wonderful works of God. And as a result, these people found themselves listening to the message that was being proclaimed by Simon Peter and the others of the apostles that were listed there on that day. Notice the description that is given is for them to be teachers of God's Word, giving them fully the message of the Lord, granting them the understanding of God's will and God's way. That's the way that He wanted them to follow. That's the way that He wanted them to go. Now there in Acts chapter 2, when the people heard enough of the message, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Simon Peter replied to them in Acts 2, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice that in this regard, they received a gift of the Holy Spirit. They did not receive the powers that the apostles had on that day to speak in languages that everybody studied around them and spoke around them. But they could understand the message for them to obey, and how that the Spirit, later on, Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 16, bears witness with their spirit that they are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our internal man that we are the children of God, if we're faithful people to His will and faithful people to His walk. Let's go over to Acts chapter 10 and read about Cornelius, a Gentile man who was there and found himself, and how Simon Peter found himself. He will say when he arrives at his household, "You know how that it was unlawful for me, being a Jew, to mix company with a Gentile and to be with you on this occasion. But God has showed me not to call anything common nor unclean, and thus I am here to tell you the message of the Lord." Cornelius said, "We're here before God to hear all things commanded thee of God for us to do, for us to practice." And thus the people were taught the message by Simon Peter. Notice that as he continued his speech, the Holy Spirit came upon them as did on the apostles back on the day of Pentecost. gave them a power and understanding of what they were to do. And they were responsive to the message that Simon Peter was telling them. They didn't have the power to speak in languages with others round about them. They were Gentile people. They were listening to the message taught to them in their language by a man who should not know their language so well. But Simon Peter was able to tell them the message of the Lord. And as he commanded them, notice what he said in the question that he asked to the people that were there. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, who received the Spirit the same as we did in the beginning? They had received a Spirit, but it did not save them from sin. They received the Spirit as a sign to Simon Peter that he was to tell them all that they needed to hear. Thus he commanded them to be baptized in water for the remission of their sins. Notice in this connection, they were not people who were righteous before God because of their own volition, their own activities. They were made right before God when they were baptized into Him. And that's what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 6. When we're baptized into the death of Christ, we're raised to walk a newness of life. Cornelius and his family was raised to walk a new way of life as they obeyed the Lord there on that day and that occasion. They begged of Simon Peter that he stay with them a few more days. And when Simon Peter went back to Antioch, they raised questions in regard to what he had done over there at the Gentile man's house. And when he explained what happened over there, it is said in Acts 11 verse 18 that the men held their peace and glorified God that he had granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. Now you'll search in vain in Acts chapter 10 to find the word repentance or repent. Yet that is exactly what they did in their daily walk of life. They responded obediently to what Simon Peter told them to do. And as a result, they changed a way of life from the Gentile way to the way of Christ Jesus. And as they changed that way of life, they found an opportunity to be all that God would have them to be. And in the service of the Lord today, when you and I teach that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that they were being baptized with the Holy Spirit on that day, we're making it more than it says, because the apostles had the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that day in Acts 2. And they taught the message. And as they taught the message, they taught repentance and baptism into Christ Jesus for the remission of their sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit would be received by them. What did this Holy Spirit coming upon them manifest? It manifested the fact that the Holy Spirit was doing His work that the Father wanted Him to do. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And He goes on to say that we ought not to pray in words that are hesitant and words that we don't quite understand what's being said. And He takes our words and puts them into groanings which cannot be uttered. And He speaks the word to the Heavenly Father that's in our heart, what we really are thinking about. And the Spirit of the Lord bears record with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's a wonderful blessing to have. It's a blessing to know that when your prayers and mine go unto the Heavenly Father as servants of God, we have one that's helping us, providing for us the real words whereby the understanding of the Heavenly Father is made clear to Him in regard to what we have really asked about. This is a wonderful way of life, a wonderful teaching of the Lord, a wonderful spirit of life. And what does the Holy Spirit do with our spirit? Romans 8:16. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He bears witness that we're truly behaving like the children of God. children of God when they get into sin and wrongdoing, according to 1 John chapter 1, find themselves coming to God in prayer. Notice it is said there in verses 5 and 6 of 1 John 1 that they find themselves in fellowship with the Father and the Son. If they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, they're in a right standing relationship, but they sin. And what to do with their sins? If we confess our sins, he says, he will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does the Heavenly Father do? He hears our prayers. He forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know, unrighteous things were part of our temptations in life. They were part of our tempting ways. And as a result, we found ourselves getting into sin and wrongdoing. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's what John writes. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And more than that, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The unrighteous thinking, the unrighteous planning, the unrighteous actions of our lives that led us to sin and wrongdoing, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We find a way in which we are serving God righteously before him. And because of that, we have the opportunity to be the servants of God. Once again, we have become the servants of God. Now, we became the servants of God and in fellowship with the Father and the Son. But we changed that from we chose a way of unrighteousness, a way to get away from God, a way not to be faithful to him. But we realized that that's not the way for us to be. We came back and we confessed our sins unto him. We were in fellowship with the Father and the Son. We have now the privilege to confess our sin and pray that the forgiveness of our sins will happen. And he assures us that it will happen. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God will do. And he'll work with our lives and work well with our lives. Some people take this particular passage, and since he will hear our prayers after we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and they will apply this to the idea before we're ever in fellowship with the Father and the Son, before we're ever obedient. And thus they get to the point of saying that it's by repentance and prayer that we get salvation. Is that what we read there in Acts chapter 2? They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. They still had their sins after the message that they were taught. It doesn't look like that they already had forgiveness for them. They found themselves needing that forgiveness, and the assurance was given to them that he would forgive them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness there in 1 John 2 in reference to how they live from the Lord. This is the way that the Bible teaches them to live. And when you and I live that way faithfully to God, we have forgiveness that comes into our lives as a result of that. It is obvious in the text of Acts chapter 2 that these people were convicted of their sins, from which they were told to repent and be baptized in Acts 2 and 38. Notice when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. They had the forgiveness of their sins now. And that's what John was writing about when he said that if we confess our sins, they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, but they get into sin. They get into it so deeply that they don't know where to go and what to do. The thing to do is go back to God. And in repentance and prayer, they'll find themselves there before him. If they confess their sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. unrighteous ways that we think and do and plan are the things that lead us into deeper sin in life. But God not only forgives us of our sins when we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, but He forgives us and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from the thinking and the planning and the conniving ways of our lives that we choose to do when we get into the sinful ways of a walk of life. Thus Paul is writing to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 6 and asking them, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He goes on to talk about how that they had died to sin and shouldn't live there any longer therein. More than this, he tells them that they've been planted together in the likeness of Jesus' death, and in the likeness of His resurrection they were raised. What did they do between those two verses there in Romans chapter 6? They were convicted of their sin. They were told that when they were baptized into the death of Christ, they were raised to walk in newness of life. When Jesus died and was buried, and then rose from the dead by the power of the Heavenly Father, they found a new way of life that they could walk to, because when they had that forgiveness, they began to walk a new way of life. When they began to walk that new way of life, they looked around and said, I've said things I ought not to say. I've done things I ought not to be done. Can I have the forgiveness of God? And John writes, yes, you can. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. They found themselves not having those temptations as strong anymore and as fruitless anymore in their lives. They found a way to come back to God, be forgiven, and live for Him in fellowship with the Father and the Son, who also is there bearing witness with them that they are the children of God, faithfully so. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice what he's saying that they did. They had a new way of life that they began. They fell away from it. They didn't remain faithful to it. But when they came back to the Lord, and they came back confessing their sins and praying about it, the Father heard their prayer. He recognized them. He forgave their sins and cleansed them from all unrighteousness. The things that led them up to sin, the unrighteous thinking, unrighteous doing that led them up to sin, He found a way in which they found a way to get right before God. And thus Jesus recognized that way, and the Holy Spirit recognized that way, and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Children of God know what to do with their sins, and it's not to hide them. It's not to pretend that they're not there at all. It's not to deny them and pretend that they're not there at all. It's not to say that God will just forgive it regardless if I pray about it, regardless if I confess it. God will forgive it anyway. He's that gracious to me. But the truth of the matter is that we find in the Bible this teaching, that if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're talking about a way of life that we can live, an enjoyable way of life, that we do not have to enter into sin and remain in sin and wrongdoing for the rest of our days. Sad to say, there are those who teach and there are those who believe that they find themselves in a right standing relationship with God only when they stop and pray, only when they think about that. And they find themselves urging others to open the door of heaven and pray without that matter so that we can be in the right relationship with God. But on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, where are the words of Simon Peter to those people who said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Did he tell them, you need to get down on your knees and pray? You need to be people who humble, they recognize what I'm told you is the truth. And you need to pray about this matter. Behold, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It wasn't the Holy Spirit baptism he was talking about there, because the Holy Spirit baptism had enabled these apostles to speak in languages they had never studied, the wonderful works of God. Acts 2 and verse 8 and verse 11. How do we hear them speak, every man, in our tongues, the wonderful works of God? These apostles were able to speak the wonderful works of God because they were endued with power from the Holy Spirit that came upon them. And thus they could speak these languages that they had never studied before. As they spoke those languages, they taught the message of the Heavenly Father to them. And it was to them that they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. As we find in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, realizing that what Simon Peter had said to him was a message that he should obey, he received that message. And notice what Simon Peter did. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, who received the Spirit the same as we in the beginning?" Notice that the Spirit had come upon the household of Cornelius to show to Simon Peter that he was not to withhold any message of salvation from Cornelius. And thus he went ahead and taught him and asked, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, who received the Spirit the same as we did in the beginning?" And he baptized them into Christ. Notice that Cornelius went about his way being a person who was taught the Word of God completely and conscientiously, and he found himself being the person of God. Can you do that today? Yes, you can. You can leave the doctrines of men. You can leave the creeds of men. You can leave the responsibilities of men. You can come back to the context of the Scripture, to the statements that are actually made there in the Scripture about these people on the day of Pentecost and the household of Cornelius, the Gentile, and how he could obey the Lord. And you can obey the Lord just like he did, just like they did on the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And as a result of being all that they could be, they were servants of God and they went forth to teach others the gospel message of the Lord. That gospel message of the Lord should be taught to everybody today. And if we will analyze where we are and what we're teaching to the Scripture, then we'll understand the message that we were teaching to them to be the message that is of God. Last week, as we were talking about a way of life for us to live, a way of life for us to live in patience and in peace with God, we find Simon Peter talking to others about how they're to live that way of life and reminding them of the way of life that they were to live. We find Paul telling Timothy the same thing about how he was to live. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer." Now notice the word example is the word tupos, is a word for the coins that were penned in that time, the value of them, because of the value that was listed on the coin, it held that value as they did their business from day to day. And he says, "Let your example be a tupos, be an example to those who are around you that you're serving the Lord. You're following the Lord's way, the righteous way of the Lord." And he says, in six areas of life, he says, be an example to the believer in word, in your words that you choose. The words and phrases that you choose are not words of profanity and profaneness, but words that you can choose that are understandable. In your words, in your conversation. Now, I know that the word conversation to us in English means, conversation means words that we do in a conversation. But conversation in that day and time meant the example of their life. Be a person that as your manner of life goes forward, They know what you serve, and they know who you serve, and they know the righteous things of your life. And thus it is the case that in word and in conversation, and, he says, in spirit. In the ways of the Spirit of God, let's be people who serve the cause of the Lord. And as we serve the cause of the Lord, we'll find ourselves being an example of the Spirit of God. Thus in Romans 8:16, He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And thus we are children of God. And Paul is telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, be an example in the believer. Be an example in the words you say, in the manner of life that you show in the Spirit. And notice what he says further. He says, in faith, in the ways that you believe, the ways that you practice, as you make a donation to the Lord on the Lord's Day, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, tells us to give by and store as God has prospered upon the first day of the week. As we do that, we find the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And notice what happens in our lives. We find a faith that we have in the Lord and a faith in our gift to be used for the goodness of God's work in the world. As a result of that sort of way of looking at life, we become people serving God in a righteous way. What a good thing for us to do. Notice what he says further in regard to Timothy. Be an example to the believer in your word, in your conversation, in your spirit, in your faith, in your gentleness of life, and in your purity. Notice that way of life is to be a way of life that is doing pure thoughts and pure mannerisms and pure teaching of the Lord. And if you do that, you'll be a person who is a fit example for others. Not of yourself, but of the Lord. When Paul wrote about his own righteousness in Philippians chapter 3, he said, it's not by my own righteousness, but the righteousness that is of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, as today we talked about this baptism time and the newness of life beginning and the discussion about this newness of life and how it was, we assure you that this teaching is not our own teaching, but it's a teaching in comparison to the scriptural teaching of the Lord in His right way. If we find ourselves doing that, we'll be people of God. I remind you of our services at the Crockett Congregation this week. Bible study classes this morning will be at 9:30. Worship in the auditorium will be at 10:30. And again Sunday evening on 6 o'clock. Come and be with us if you can. Bible study classes each Wednesday night are at 7 p.m. And you'll be a part of a biblical study with your own Bible, looking at it and reading it and seeing the full context of it as it goes along in that class study. You'll have a wonderful time to discuss those particular matters and be all that God would have you to be. Thanks for your time today. Trust if you've benefited from this program. This is Robert Rawson for the Crockett Church of Christ. This message is available to you again at CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com.